I can never explain or understand God's love that he has for you, for me. But I thank him for it. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
By the love I can explain, oh, now you love me, and I'm forever changed, oh, I've abandoned everything I've ever known, oh, Lord, I surrender, my life is not my own.
Amen. Truly we do. Well, let it shine. We thank Thank God for those, all these hundreds of people. Amen. Bless that we are tonight. We just bless the Lord. We thank God. Amen. Just for a mind to be faithful. Our service to God is never, should never be dependent on who's not here.
Come on.
And the only thing we focus on is that we're here. And that we have a mind to hear from God. Can we say amen?
Amen.
So once again, our theme for this year is trust in the Lord and give him all of you. Trust in the Lord and do what?
Give
him all of you. I believe we need to send that message out. Trust in the Lord and give him all of you. Amen. Actually, you all can be seated. We're going to go over scripture, but we thank God for my wife being here. Bless her for life, health, and strength. And we thank God for all of you that are here tonight. Amen. We continue to lift up Sister Maria and her family. They did have her grandmother's homegoing service today. We'll continue to pray for her. And Bishop called and checked on us almost every day from last, when he heard the storm was coming, he called and checked on us every day. And he said, make sure you let the saints know that I asked about us.
Amen.
Amen. So we just thank God that he did ask about us. So remember, our theme for this year is we want to trust in the Lord with what? Trust in the Lord with all our heart and give him all of you. Amen. Trust in the Lord and give him all of you. And I believe one of the greatest deception the devil has gotten the saints to believe is they trust in God and they don't come to church. How can you trust in God and don't give him all of you? Amen. One of the things about, we know that Abel gave God an offering and Cain gave God an offering. The Bible said God accepted Abel's offering, but he did not accept Cain's offering. But what was the problem with Cain's offering? It was not mixed with faith. By faith, Abel offered unto God, and by faith, Cain did not offer. So the Bible said God rejected Cain's Abel because he just gave it out of routine or out of habit. Some people come to church and it's just routine and habit, but they're not coming out of faith. And they wonder why my life is not changing, because it is not in faith. Amen. But they're just doing it out of habit. So you can give your tithes and offering. If it's out of habit, it profits you nothing. The only way that your giving is acceptable to God is it has to be done how? In faith. Amen. So tonight what we're going to deal with is, the Lord has been dealing with me all this week and last week about faith. And faith is more than just a mind to believe. Right? Faith is more than just a mind to believe. And I'll go fast enough to get to the end of this, because there are some people that are praying fervently and diligently, but they don't really have the faith to believe. Right? How can you, just think of this, how can you pray fervently and diligently and continuously and not have a mind to believe? Amen. That's surprising. All right, but we're going to go to Luke, the 8th chapter. We have a new person on the audio video, so we work with them. They'll work with us. Amen. We just want to make it so you can see it. So we're going to read Luke 8, verses 22 through 25. Now we're dealing with faith. And if we were to have a topic tonight, is where is your faith? Right? You can't worry about anybody else's faith. Where is your faith? Because the Bible said, work out what? Your own salvation with fear and trembling. So tonight, the subject we're dealing with is faith. And once again, faith is more than just a mindset to believe. Faith is an action word. Amen. Faith is an action word. In other words, James said, faith without works is what?
Dead.
So a lot of people have faith, but they have no works. Amen. They talk all to God, but they don't do for God. That Bible said that is what? Dead. But let's just go to Luke 8, 22, I'm going to read verses 22 through 25. Now, how many know when the Lord tells you something is going to happen? No matter what it looks like, it's going to happen. No matter what seems like it's going to block it, if God says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. So verse 22 reads, now it came to pass on a, that lets you know this is not something just made up. This is a definite, Amen. On a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples and said unto them, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. So when he said, let us go to the other side, guess what? There wasn't a demon in hell at the south. Amen. And this is where we as saints have to get it in us. When God speaks something, the Bible says all of his promises. How many of his promises? All of his promises are yea and amen to the glory of God. All of his promises. So when God gives us a promise, his promises are intended to glorify him. The scripture says his promises are not yea and nay. In other words, there's no ambiguity in God's promises. When God speaks of promises, it's yea and amen. But verse 23 reads, but as they sail, he
fell asleep.
But how many know he didn't keep it Israel? So how many know this is just a test? Because he had already spoken. In many of our lives, God has spoken things. But then all of a sudden, out of what seems to be the blessing, trouble comes. That trouble is just a test. Because God has already spoken deliverance. God has already spoken healing. Amen. But he wants to see in the test, how will we respond to the test? Amen. So he apparently fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake. And they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, they were desperate. Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and, listen, all the Lord did is just spoke to the wind. Do we understand how much power there is in the spoken word? The spoken word is the rhema word. That's the word of God with action. Just like, how did God create everything this year? He did what?
Spoken.
Heaven and earth was created by the spoken word. The only thing he didn't speak into existence is man. Right? Because he made us a little higher than everything else. So God spoke to everything else, but he said, because I'm divinely connected and intimately connected to man, he said, I'm going to shape him. I'm going to form him. Everything else God spoke. Amen. So there's power in the what? Spoken word. So the question is, do we believe in the spoken word? Amen. No matter what it seems like. If God said it, somebody said, that settles it. That's the spoken word, all right? So it said, then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was, so there was a storm that was only a test. Many of us tonight have some storms in our lives. Speak to that storm and say, you're nothing more than a test. All God has to do is speak the word. And that storm will become a calm. But the problem that we have in church is many of us don't really believe God's promises. Even though we can pray fervently, we don't believe God's promises. Verse 25 says, and he said unto them, tonight that's what we want to deal with. Where is your faith? Amen. Where is your faith? Now, how many know we all hear the word of God? So you have to ask the question, how can I continually hear the word of God and the word of God is not prospering or manifesting itself in my life? Because I hear, and we know faith cometh by hearing. All right, so let us go to Hebrews, the 4th chapter. And we're going to go to verse 2. So we all are hearing the word. All right, I got out of order, so you got to kind of follow me. So we're dealing with faith. So the Lord did what? What did he do? He spoke. Right? God spoke the word. First he said, we are going over to thee. That should have sealed the deal. No matter what came, they should have said, we're going to rest in God's word or his promises. And as saints of God, that's what we need to do more so, rest in God's word and promises. Well, why isn't the Word of God working effectively or effectually in our lives? Why is God's Word? Just think, we hear the Word, we say we have faith, but why isn't the Word working effectually in our life? Hebrews 4:2 says, "For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the Word preached it not." Well, why didn't they hear? We all hear the same Word. How can we come to church, hear the same Word, and leave in the same condition that we came in without the deliverance or healing that we need? Because he says that it was what? Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So you can hear the Word. You can hear all the words you want, but it won't profit you if it's not mixed with faith. So Jesus said, "Where is your faith?" Amen. Now let's go to Romans, the 10th chapter. Romans, the 10th chapter, and we're going to the 14th verse. So tonight, where is your faith? How is it possible that we're hearing the Word of God, whether it's here or whether it's through other apostolic preached anointed teachers, and the Word is not profiting us? How can we hear it not profit? Because it's not mixed with what? What is? We're not mixed with faith. So later on, we're going to go over what is faith when we get to the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Amen? Where is your faith? Where is my faith? Amen? And when you think about Abraham, God made Abraham a promise, but it didn't happen right away. Amen? Can you imagine even Sarah? Sarah was barren for 90 years. 90 years she had no child, but God spoke, saying, "You will have a child." Even though she didn't have a child, she should have believed because God said it. You need nothing more than God's spoken word. But a lot, I believe many times, and even in our situation, we know God's word, we know what God has said by faith, but many of us get impatient. We get the Abraham and the Sarah syndrome. We feel as though God can't do what he said, so we have to help God out. Amen. A lot of times we feel as though we have to help God out. So God called Abraham, it was Abram and Sarai, if you want to be politically correct, but we know they're Abraham and Sarah, called them out of Ur of the Chaldees. And he said, "In thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed." Now can you imagine Abraham and Sarah saying, "Seed? I'm 75 and she's 65. We haven't had a child yet. What are you talking about?" Right? But God told him, he said, "No, in your seed shall all nations on the earth be blessed." And then in the 15th chapter of Genesis, God tells him, he said, "Fear not, Abraham." So he said, "I am your shield and exceeding great reward." God, and Abraham said, "God, how can you be my shield and exceeding great reward when the seed of my house or the servant of my house or those that are going to reap the benefits is his Eliezer, he's not even from my seed." God said, so then if you go to the Genesis 16th chapter, we see that they got tired of waiting on God. Right? So Sarai decided, "Abraham, go into my handmaid and have a child by her." So he did it, and they had Ishmael. Now, and I didn't realize this until recently. So when they had Ishmael, listen, God was speaking to Abraham on a daily basis as long as he was walking by faith and trusting God. When they had Ishmael, God was silent for 13 years. Right? God didn't speak again because they were trying to do what God had to do. So they blocked their communication with God for what? 13 years. Because if you read the story, from you didn't hear from God again to Ishmael was 13 years old. So because they decided to take matters into their own hand and not walk by faith, God said, "I can't speak to you because you have separated yourself from me because you're not walking in faith." Amen. So when we don't walk in faith, we separate ourselves from God. 13 years. Don't try to steal my message because I might preach it one day back. So 13 years of silence because they did not believe and they tried to do what God has to do. That's a lesson that we should learn. Whenever we Stop trusting God. That's why our message this model or theme this year is trust in the Lord and give him. Because if you trust in God and give him all of you, then you won't have a Hagar and the Ishmael experience. Because the moment you step outside of God's plan, God gets silent. God won't speak. Because you're trying to say, God, I have a better way than you do. Amen? So the just must walk, the just must live by faith. So Romans, the 10th chapter. So don't you have no silent period. If you got a silent period in your life, you know what the problem is? The problem is not God, the problem is your faith. Amen? If you have a silent period, I've been praying, I've been crying, but are you surrendering to God? Amen. We're going to go, like I said, in a little bit, we started early, so I'm going to have time to get there. We're going to go with some people that prayed fervently and diligently, but they didn't believe their prayer. But God moved anyway. Amen. So Romans 10, 14 reads, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not? So the first thing you got to do in order for you to call, you have to believe. So a lot of times people are coming to the altar, but they don't really believe. So they're giving a Cain offering. Because if you come to the altar and you don't have faith, God will not accept that. That is not pleasing to God. So when you come to God, you have to come in faith. Amen? So it says, how can they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without? Say, well, I go on the internet and I listen to all these preachers. Be careful. All right? Be careful what you listen to, because it says, verse 17, and how shall they preach except they be? So everything that's preaching, God did not send it. Amen. He told them, and he told those prophets that were in Jeremiah days, he said, you're prophesying and preaching. He said, but I did not send you. Amen. So what the problem is, all of Judah went into Babylonian captivity because all those were preaching, but God didn't send them. So a lot of times you watch saints' lives, you say, well, why are you so bound? Why aren't you free? Because you listen to people that God did not send. Amen. You understand? So if God didn't send them and they're preaching, who sent them? I don't care how much they scream and yell and run. Amen. It's not of God. Man, it just touched me. I was watching one of our apostolic PAW preachers. He's supposed to be mightily used. And as he was preaching, the whole crowd was stirred. But something that made it sound right because of the movements and the stuff they were doing didn't seem like that's of God. It seemed like they were getting help from somebody. That's my personal opinion. So even though I saw it and I was a part of it, I was like, by no means am I was like jealous, but something just did not set right. Right? Amen. Because the Spirit bears witness with the Spirit. The whole everything was up, but something in us, they said, whoa, did you hear that word? I said, yeah, but there was some extra stuff in there that didn't sit right with me. Amen. So everything that's preaching, be careful. Because that's called, you can get a spirit transferred into you if you open yourself up to it. Amen. Now, let me show you how spirits work. Remember when God tells, it won't go over the depth of it, we will touch on it in Hebrews 11 chapter. Remember God said, he says in the fourth chapter of Genesis, it's Abel brought an offering unto God and God accepted it. Then Cain brought an offering unto God and God did not accept it. All right, why? Cain's offering was from the flock and blood, all right, which was symbolic of the Lord and the Passover in Egypt and all so on and so forth, all right? So it was symbolic of redemption. So he brought that which was pleasing to God. He was obedient. Because when Adam and Eve sinned, what did God do to cover their sin? He made what? Coats of skin. That taught them the only sacrifice that God was going to make was accept was that to cover sin was that which was made from coats of skin. In order to get a coat of skin, the animal had to do what? Die. Because Hebrews 9:22 said, without the shedding of blood, there is what? No remission of sin. Right? So something had to die. So Abel did what God said, and he was pleasing. Cain gave God what he wanted to give him. Right? Now this is what happens when you don't do it in faith. Well, why? Well, I gave the church $1 million. If it wasn't mixed with faith, God did not accept it. Right? You understand what I'm saying? God's not looking at how much you gave. He's looking at the spirit behind how you gave. So he said his offering wasn't acceptable to God. And the Bible said because God did not accept Cain's offering, Cain got angry. And if you read that in the Hebrew, I mean, he turned burning, fiery red, angry with God. He was burning, fiery red. You know how you can turn red, right? With God, because God did not accept his offering. So God asked him, he said, Cain, why are you cast out? Why are you all depressed? Why are you all dejected looking? He said, if thou doest well, shall not thy offering be what? Accepted. So Cain, and if you read that, he said, your offering will be accepted, you will be lifted up. In other words, you'll go from being depressed to having joy. So he said, if you do what's right, I'm going to give you joy. And he said, but if you don't do right, sin is lying at the door. So I said, if you don't do what's acceptable, sin is waiting for the opportunity to enter into your life. Right? Sin is waiting for the opportunity to enter into your life. So what did Cain do? He got mad and murdered his brother. He just opened the door and let sin in. That's what happens when we don't do things in faith. We open the door and let the devil in. He said, he told him, he said, now if you is lying at the door, he said, but you have to master sin, because if you don't master sin, sin will master you. This is what we talk about, having the faith to believe God. All right, so let me finish this. He said, how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of joy, but they have not all obeyed. Now we talk about what? Obeyed. It said, now was the gospel preached unto us as well as to them, but with them it did not profit because it was not mixed with what? Faith. And then they heard it. So now he says, concerning them, he said, have they not all obeyed the gospel? For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But if God didn't send them, how can faith profit them? Amen. So I do watch a whole lot of preachers on the internet and different things, but I try to discern the spirit, and if they start going off, I cut them off, right? Because we have to bear witness with the truth, amen? So let's go to Romans 1, verse 17. I just want to lead up to Hebrews 11 and Acts 12, all right? So Romans 1, 17. Now what are we talking about tonight? Faith. Faith is an action word. Faith is a verb. But it's impossible to have true faith if you walk in disobedience. And I asked this a while ago. I said, is it possible to have faith and walk in disobedience? No. What was Cain's problem? He wasn't walking in obedience. Because they knew, and I'm sure that Adam let his sons know, in order for you to give something acceptable to God, it had to have blood. Why? Because the very first sin sacrifice, who made it? God. God set the prototype for how we cover sin. And what happens today, people are trying to cover sin their way. It is not covered. Amen. God said it. So Abel was obedient. Cain was disobedient. So by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Why? Because Abel's sacrifice was offered in faith. Cain's was not offered in faith. So God did not accept it. Amen? So it's so important tonight. Whatever you're giving to God, if it's not in faith, God will not accept it. So people have all these reasons why they don't come to church. God said, if it's not in faith, I won't accept it. Let me finish this. Then I didn't give it to you, but then we're going to go to Romans 14:23. All right, let's go to this. Let's read this. It says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from what? Faith to faith, as it is written. The just. Is that an option? No. Right? Because in saints we go from faith to faith. Not faith to doubt, to faith to doubt, to faith to doubt. We go from faith to faith. Herein is the righteousness of God revealed. For the just shall walk by faith. Now let me ask you, is walking just something you think? Walking is a what? Action. Faith is an action. All right. Well, you don't know how to pull up 14. Let's go to Romans 14:23. You just think where you are for now. All right, I have to teach you a little more on that one. But let's go to 14:23. So the question is, will God accept everything that we give him? And then if God won't accept everything that we give him, the other question is this, is some of the stuff that we give God actually sin? If we give God what we want to give God, that is called disobedience. Amen? If we give God what we want to give God and it transgress and goes against God, that is disobedience. So Romans 14:23. Let's read that one together right quick. All right. Now we're trying to say, well, why is it that I'm doing stuff but I'm not getting the true benefits? Because it's not done in faith. Tithes and offering, but I'm not reaping the benefit. Well, why are you really paying your tithes and offering? Are you doing it because of a gratitude or appreciation, a love for God? And I give my tithes and my offering because I want to show God my gratefulness. I'm doing it out of obedience, not grudgingly. Amen. I'm not giving it like, if I don't get it, they say I'm going to be cursed for curse, then you might as well keep it. Amen? If you give it for that reason, God said, wait a minute, if you're not going to render unto me for all the benefits I'm giving you by just giving me a 10% of what belongs to me, right? It all belongs to God anyway. Amen? That's why we have to give God our best. Not our second best, but our best. So Romans 14:23 reads, and he that doubteth is damned if he's eating. He's talking about those that are eating, but they're not eating for the right reason. Talking about if your brother's offended. If you read, if it offends your brother, then don't do it. But then if you eat, just say, I'm going to eat just so I can shut you up. He said, you're damned if you eat. You understand? Well, why did you give your offering? Because I don't want to hear your mouth. God said, that's not acceptable to me. Well, why did you come to church? Because I don't want nobody calling me up saying, where were you at? That's not acceptable to God. Well, why did you participate in what the church was doing? Because I didn't feel like it. That is not acceptable to God. Well, how do we know that it's not acceptable? He says, damn it, because he eateth not of faith. He eateth not of faith. And whatsoever is not a faith is, that's a broad statement, isn't it? If you do anything and it's not a faith, it is sin. Because what's the opposite of faith? Doubt. Well, what is doubt? A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. So the opposite of faith is doubt. Doubt is double-minded. And James said, let not that man think he learned to receive what? Anything of the Lord. So exactly what is doubt is having two opinions about God. One opinion says, God, I believe you. The other opinion says, God, I don't know if I can trust you. This is what doubt is. Faith says, God, I believe you. I'm going to go all, whatever it is, I just believe you all the way to the end. Doubt says, God, I don't know if I can trust you. You might let me down. God said, that is sin. Because you're telling me that I'm not going to honor and keep my word? That means you are rebelling against me. So that doubt is the opposite of faith, and is a double-minded man. The Bible says you are unstable, how? Spiritually and naturally. In what? In all of your ways. So what we want to do, whatever we do, let's do it in faith. Because if it's not a faith, what is it? So everything I do, God, I want to do it in faith. But everything, my whole life can't be faith. Yes, it is, because your whole life should be done to honor to God. Faith pleases God. For without faith, it didn't say it's perchance you won't, but it said what? We will go over there in a minute. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So whatever you're doing, if you come and clean the church and you do it faithfully all the time, but you do it grudgingly, it's not a faith. So the Bible said, broadly, that is sin. Well, what is sin? You are missing the mark. That's what sin means. You are missing the mark. So whatever is not a faith is sin. So if I do anything and I don't do it in faith, faith is what honors or pleases God. Faith is obedience to God. That's what we'll go over in a minute. All right. Faith is obedience to God. So he said, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. If you come to the altar just, you know, a lot of times we've developed the habit, and my wife and I were watching a program the other night. People were just doing things out of habit. And the one person they interviewed, they said, we knew it was wrong. But we just did it anyway. That's sin. That's wrong. Because what we do is supposed to be to glorify God. Amen. So if there's a committee and everybody gets on the committee, well, why don't you get on the committee? Because I would look like an idiot if I wasn't like everybody else. You should have stayed off the committee. Because that wasn't faith. And the Bible says you missed the mark. Missing the mark is sin. Amen. So we want to, where is your faith? We want to do what pleases and honors God. Amen. So we already know, 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we think by faith. We what? Walk is in action. We don't think, but we walk. So everything about our faith is in action. Amen. We walk by faith and not, I'm afraid many in the church are not walking by faith, but they're walking by sight. Sight will hurt you. The Bible said, love not the world, nor the things that are in the world. For all that's in the world is the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. So, you know, as I was reading and studying that, I study a lot, but as I was reading and studying that, a lot of times you hear people say that the eyes are the window panes to the something, to the soul, right? But I know in medically they said they look in your eyes medically because when they look in your eyes, they see everything. So they said, eyes are the window pane to your what? So what your eyes, listen, what your eyes perceive, it impacts your soul. So when you expose yourself to stuff that's not in God's pleasure, that spot, because Bishop GTA would say it's like a phonograph. Like, you know how you record something on a recorder? Everything you see, you record on your soul. So as I was reading that, I thought of the Bible says that Cain vexes righteous soul from what? Day to day. Well, how do you vex his righteous soul? In seeing and hearing. So a lot of times we think it's just seeing that impacts our soul, but also hearing, because seeing and hearing are both portals. Learn that from you, portals. Portals, they're openings. Hearing and seeing are portals to your soul. So the scripture said, Lot vexed his righteous soul from day to day in seeing and hearing their unrighteousness or filthiness. So when you see it, it vexes your soul and leaves an imprint on your soul. When you hear it, it also impacts your soul. Those are opening to your soul. So the thing is, I want to have faith. Then you got to watch what you see and watch what you hear. Amen? Because it will impact your soul. And the thing about the things that impact your soul, it might not do it immediately, but it has left a spot in your soul. At the right opportunity, the devil will manifest that, because sin is lying at the door. If you don't block sin, sin wants an opportunity to do what? Express itself. Amen. So let's go to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. And we're going to go over faith. Amen. We're going over faith. I hope we are learning something about faith. And we're going to learn as we go over this. Now, we've gone over this quite a bit. I know you said, well, don't you know something else? I know this is what God took me. That's what I know. That's what I know. I could have went somewhere else, but that's what God brought me. So I ain't going to fight God. He knows better than I know. And he's the one that's teaching me, so we can teach each other. Can we say praise the Lord? So it said, now faith is the what?
Substance of things
hoped for. Oh, substance of things, but the substance, it means the assurance. That's an ironclad guarantee. Faith is the assurance. It's an ironclad guarantee, all right, of things hoped for, but the is, but I have the conviction of things not seen. Well, if you don't do a word study, you think that both of these same things are the same. But the second thing, when it talks about the evidence of things not seen, that this thing is the Greek word pragma, P-R-A-G-M-A, from which we get our English word pragmatic. It means it is practical, it is factual, it is believable. So faith is the assurance of things hoped for. You don't see it, but if we hope for that we see not, then we with patience wait for it. So it's the assurance of things hoped for, and it's the conviction of practical things that we have not seen. That's what faith is. You don't have to see it, but you know in God's word it is factual. What are the factuals? God's promises. For all of his promises are yea. Listen, God, none of God's promises are nay. All of his promises are what?
Yea.
Well, why the yea and amen? To the glory of God. He will be glorified. For by it, by what? Faith. The elders obtained a what?
Good report.
Through that report really means they had a testimony. Well, why don't you have a testimony? Are you walking in faith or are you walking in doubt? The most important thing, if any, we can ever grasp this in our spirit, don't walk in doubt. Because doubt is saying God can't. Right? Doubt says God can't, and you can't fully rely and trust in God. That's what doubt tells you. Walk in faith. I don't know how and I don't know when, but one thing I do know is God will do just what he says. Because his promises are yea and amen. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the what? By the what? He goes back to Genesis. How were the worlds framed? By the word of God. God did what? Spoke. God, the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are were not made of things which are, which do appear. Pragmatic. It's practical. God spoke it, so I don't have to see it. All I have to do is believe it. Because God said, that's pragmatic. It's factual. It's according to God's promises. Lord, I don't see it, but you spoke it. So the things which you're seeing were made out of things which did not. God made everything out of nothing. Why? Through his spoken word. Then it says, by faith, Abel. Now we're talking about faith. Faith is once again an action word. Faith is a what? Verb. So by faith, Abel just thought about God. No. He did what? He offered unto God a what? A more excellent sacrifice than. Well, what did Abel offer his faith in? His offering and obedience. That's what faith is. So by obedience, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, who was disobedient. So faith is obedience, and obedience is faith. Amen. The minute you walk in disobedience, you're not walking in faith. Do we all understand that? Faith is obedience, and obedience is faith. They're not, you can't say, well, one is this. You can't obey God unless you have faith. You can't have faith unless you're obedient. So Abel offered his sacrifice in obedience to God, and God said, I accept that because you're obedient. Cain said, I'm just going to give you this. But God said, that's not what you're supposed to give me. Cain said, I don't care. I'm going to give it to you anyway. God said, I'm not going to accept it. You got a bad problem when you get mad at God. Cain had a serious issue. He didn't get mad at nobody. He didn't get mad at Abel. He took it out on Abel. But who is he mad at? He was mad at God. They said he got fiery. If you read that, he got fiery red. Like the burning of the sun, angry at God. How can you get angry at God when you're doing the opposite of what God told you to do? Amen. Then Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was obedience, and faith makes you righteous. Obedience and faith have you to be in right standing with who? With God. And say, when God said, you know what, I'm going to let you know how good, how pleased you are to me. I'm going to talk about your gift. I'm going to testify about your gift, because you did what is pleasing to me. Amen? He said, by it he being dead, yet speaking. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he obeyed God. Please God. You cannot please God if you don't obey him. And if you read about it in Genesis, the 5th chapter, it said Enoch walked with God. He was in intimate relationship with God. He was in harmony with God, and God took him. Lord, if I could just be in harmony with you, if I could just be pleasing to you. Amen. So Enoch had this testimony before he was translated that he what? He was walking in obedience, and he was walking in faith. Because he what? He pleased God. But without obedience, without faith, without obedience. Well, why did you do it? Because I didn't want to. If you're disobedient, every sin and transgression. Oh, you got a question? Hold on. I gotta give you a mic. All right, here you go.
Amen.
And that's the same thing with Abraham, Sarai, with Hagar, and Ishmael. They didn't want to wait on God. So that when you don't want to wait on God, guess what you do? You take things into your own hand. Abraham and Sarai did it, and so did Saul. Saul and Samuel said, what is it? He said, well, I was afraid the people were going to leave, so I went and did what the priest has to do. That's disobedience. He said, because you rejected the word of God, God has what? rejected you. Amen. So when you're disobedient to God, God will reject you. All right. So it said, but without faith, it is what? So if we're walking in disobedience, we cannot walk in a way that's pleasing to God. Amen. You can make up all the excuses. You can. The Bible says about God, it's so amazing in the book of Revelation. He said, everything we do is written in the books. Everything. Everything we think, God has it in the book. That we have to give an account for every word and deed. And the Bible says even the secret things, we have to give an account to God for that. So we have to give an account to God for everything. How is it possible that we can fool a God that's written everything down in the book? Think about that. And then it says in Psalm 139:16, it said, nothing is hid from God's eyes. He said, even when I was imperfect, it means when I was an embryo, when I was being formed in the womb, God saw me. He said, everything about me was written in that book before it was even formed. God knows that everything there is about us. Our problem is we like to try to skirt by or make up excuses, but God knows, amen? But without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that what? For he that what? First gotta what? Come to God. Amen. So a lot of people are trying to get blessings, and they're not coming to God. People are working themselves to death, but they're not. That's not faith. Amen. Because the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. Amen. So if I'm working and I can be in church, it's my option. I'd rather get the money than we're walking in disobedience. I didn't say it. Whatever is not of faith, the Bible said, is sin. So if I'm doing it because I want to do it and I'm not doing it in obedience, because faith is obedient, the Bible said that is sin. But he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a what? Stop right there. You mean if you do what God tells you to do, he's going to reward you? Yes, not your way, but his way. Not in your time, but in his time. He is a rewarder of them that haphazardly seek him. He's a rewarder of them that lethargically seek him. If you seek God with all your heart, and the day that you seek after him with all your heart, you will find him. So when we seek him with all our heart, we shall what? We shall find him. By faith. Now we're going up with faith. Noah being warned of God of things it wasn't seen. They had never seen rain before. But God warned Noah of things not yet seen. What did Noah do? He just sat there and waited. He did what? He moved. He was moved with fear and did something by faith. He prepared an ark to the what? Savior of his house, by which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. So even Noah, because he had faith, said, Noah, I want you to build me an ark way up on the mountain because it's going to rain. Most of us say, I can't do something. I don't know nothing. What do you mean rain? Noah didn't have no discourse with God. Said, explain to me about this rain stuff. God said it, he just did it. God tells us to do something, well, you got to explain to me what that means. Right? But Noah was just obedient. God said, build it. Noah said, okay, I'll go build it. Because that's what faith is. Faith is obedience. Faith is not, like a lot of people say, you're trying to get a job? Yeah, what are you doing? I'm just sitting home waiting for them to call me. That's not faith. Faith is an action. You have to move to do something. You know what? The difference between faith and doubt is this. You ever follow someone? Let me use this example. You ever follow someone? You're going on a long trip and you follow someone and traffic get all in the way. You get to an intersection. You say, man, I'm following God. But God got so far in front of me, I don't know which way he went. So I'm at a crossroad. What do I do? You can't just stay there. Right? So you say, well, God, I need to know what to do. All you have to do is begin to move. Don't stay there. Don't sit there. Don't become, you know, a resident or just lethargic and complacent. But you got to continue to proceed after God. Why? Because you're showing God, I believe. Because when you sit there, listen, when you get to a crossroad and don't know what to do, you sit there, you got doubt. Because you're not following God. When you stay there, you fall. So then you say, well, when I move, what happens to the wrong thing? Don't worry about that, because when you move in faith, God will take the crooked thing and make it straight. But you got to move. You can't just sit there. Amen? So he says, Noah, by faith, Abraham being called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out. Wait a minute. God, you want me to go somewhere? You're not telling me what? God said, I'm just, you know what Abraham said? Not God. Abraham said, I'm just going to be what? Obedient. So once again, faith is obedience. Obedience is faith. Now, it never said faith is understanding. Because we never understand God. Because his ways are past finding out. So God didn't say, I want you to understand and move. God said, just do what I say and trust me. So if you don't have faith, when God tells you to do something, you go to do it and you hesitate, God said, you don't even trust me. Because if you trust me, when I say it, you want to just say, okay, God, I'm going to do it. And we don't question. Amen? All right, so we let's go to Acts, the 12th chapter. All right. Yeah, that was Evangelist Carroll. Acts 12 chapter. All right. In your spare time, just read in James chapter 2 about faith without works is dead. It says even the heart of Rahab. How come she could just be a Rahab? God said, listen, no matter what kind of lifestyle you come from, if you walk in faith, I'll honor you. So he doesn't never let her be Rahab. In the New Testament, every time you read about Rahab, she's called what? Rahab the harlot. You know what God is saying? Even if you come from the lowest point of life, if you walk in faith, God said, I will honor you. All right? So let's go up to Acts the 12th chapter. Now, the intriguing part about the 12th chapter of Acts is this. The church is praying for Peter. The church is praying for Peter. All right? But guess what? The church didn't really believe their prayer. So they weren't praying in faith. But God moved anyway, not because of the church, but he moved because of Peter. All right. So we're going to show you a whole lot of times people are praying, but they don't expect that God is going to answer their prayers. Amen. So verse 1 says, now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quartillion of soldiers to keep him intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Now, this Easter is a mistranslation because God never talked about Easter. This word, the proper word should be Pascha, which is Passover. All right, so if you read the proper original text, and even the Hebrew text, it's not Easter. I know because I read it. It's not Easter. It's supposed to be Passover. I never read then Passover. All right, so then we talk about that. Keep this picture in mind. Passover, what was the first Passover? When? When Israel came out of what? Egypt. And the death angel moved at midnight. Right, so this is the first Passover. See, God's word is so phenomenal because it ties in Peter's deliverance with the Passover. That's why it was not Easter. But it should have been Passover. All right, we went over that quite a few years ago. I don't have time to go over all that tonight. All right. Said Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but he was kept with 16 soldiers because remember, Herod had heard about how God had delivered the apostles in chapter 4, how God had delivered the apostles in chapter 5. He had heard how Jesus was raised from the dead. So you know what Harris said? He said, yeah, I heard about this delivery. He said, but I don't believe that was God. He said, I'm going to put some soldiers in. I'm going to give you 16 soldiers. They had four watches of 6 hours. He said, I'm going to have four soldiers tied to you for 6 hours. You ain't getting out of my hand, because Herod thought he was God. As you read it later, it said God spoke him because he thought he was God. So he said, wait a minute, your God, I'm going to give you, all these soldiers are going to make sure you stay to me. Stay tied to me, Peter, you can't get away. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. So who was praying? They were praying what? Without ceasing. They were praying fervently. They were praying diligently for his deliverance. But you're going to find out later, they really didn't believe their prayer. Right? So sometimes you can pray. I don't care how much you cry and screaming and yelling, you don't believe your prayer. We'll find out how. All right? Because their prayer was not in faith. Because when you pray in faith, you believe that God is going to answer your prayer. You don't know when, you don't know how, but you have the assurance in your spirit that God will answer your prayer. Amen? So verse 6 says, when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with what? Two chains. And the keepers before the door, they kept the prison. So listen, Herod said, listen, hey, there's no way you get out of my hand, Peter. Peter was bound to a soldier on the right hand and a soldier on his left hand with chains. Then he had those watching outside, one ward, and then another was outside another ward. So they had four soldiers that were surrounding Peter. Now, Peter knew the next day, I'm sure the soldiers told him, you know how soldiers can mock you? Sort of like they did, Elder, what's this? I forget his last name. The one that released from death row. Oh, my friend, what's your name? Elder Billy Moore, yeah. Elder Billy Moore. He said, those soldiers, those guards mocked him and said, man, you ain't getting out of here. You're going to die tomorrow. He said, Billy Moore said, God said I should live and not die. And guess what? He's alive today. He was on death row. Only confessed murder in the whole history of the United States that were released because God was involved. All right? So you imagine these soldiers would talk to Peter and say, hey, your God, we're going to see how he's going to get you out of this one. But Peter had so much confidence in God, he was asleep. He was sound asleep. Amen. So let's keep going. He's sleeping. So listen, he's chained to two soldiers in the jail with him. Why? He said, your God ain't gonna get you out of this. Right? He said, who is that God? Remember Nebuchadnezzar asked the Hebrew boy, who's that God gonna deliver you out of my hand? God said, you will see if you have faith to believe. All right? So, and behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And guess what?
The chains fell off.
The chains fell. Now listen, you know those soldiers still sleeping. But when God, you're praying for God's deliverance. So the chains fell off. God spoke Peter. He said, get up quickly. Everybody else is still asleep. Those soldiers don't even know what happened. And the chains just, God didn't need no key or nothing. The chains fell off. When you just trust in God, rest in God, and God has a call on your life, you don't have to worry about what the devil's going to do. Because no weapon far will what? Prosper. Peter had to be in some kind of state of mind. He could have been up saying, oh, what am I going to do tomorrow? Lord, I don't want to die. Peter just slept. Because God gives his beloved sleep. It's vain for you to rise up early and to stay up late and eat the bread of affliction. Because God gives his beloved sleep. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandal. And so he did as he had said unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. Anyway, where are the rest of those soldiers? Still sleep at midnight. Because God is doing something great. God is delivering. Amen. God is delivering. And verse 9, and he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. Peter said, this must be a vision. The chains fell off, and I'm following this angel, and we're walking by all these guards. You know, Peter said, I'm gonna be obedient, he was obedient, right? Because if the angel said, follow him, Peter said, no, I'm not gonna follow you. I'm gonna stay right here, and he would have been delivered. But he was obedient. He follows the angel, you understand? All right, and when they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth out of the city. Now these gates were huge iron gates. That was the security of the city, which opened unto them of his. The angel got to the gate just opened up. Right? Because God was in this. He didn't need nobody to touch the gate. So no matter what the devil has tries to do to have you hemmed and bound up, God will loose the shackles and set you free. Then as you begin to follow, now listen, in order for Peter to get the complete deliverance, he had to do what? Follow. So a lot of times, chains are dropped off of people when they stop following. And they don't get their complete deliverance because they're not walking in faith, because faith is obedient. The angel said, follow me. You say, I don't know who you are. I can't follow you. But as he followed, listen, God begins to move miraculously. So they get to the, listen, not just the big iron gate. When he got to the gate, he just opened of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street. And forthwith the angel, said, I did my job. You're out. You're free. Right? So immediately the angel just, he was gone. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me out of the hand of Herod from all the. He already, Peter knew what they were expecting to kill him. But God sent his angel. I know that God has sent his angel, right? And he has delivered me. He said, when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was? This is the same John Mark that went with Paul and Barnabas, who caused a division and they split. Where many were gathered together, what? Then we said the church was praying for him without ceasing. They were fervently praying for what? His what? Deliverance. But they didn't expect it. Well, how do we know? Let's keep going. All right? And Peter knocked at the door of the gate. A damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. So he couldn't even get to the house. He's just trying to get in the courtyard. He's banging on the gate. So Rhoda hears him. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the. Now they're praying without ceasing. They all gathered in the house, and what are they doing? They call them the church, they're doing what? Praying. And they said unto her, thou art. Well, why are you praying if you don't believe God just delivered? Right? They said, thou art what? You're mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, it is his. Wait a minute. You praying without ceasing. You all gather together praying. God delivered it, but you don't believe it. Amen?
Yes.
So what was the purpose of praying? Because you didn't expect God to deliver. So what were you doing? Going through the motion. They said they were praying fervently. And the Bible says that we know that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man does what?
Yes.
Fail as much. So they were doing all this praying, but they weren't expecting God to do what they were praying for. Whenever we pray, expect God is going to do what we're praying for. Amen? But Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door, they saw him. Wait a minute. What are you praying for? You're praying for deliverance? Then when they see him, they don't believe it. So would you pray for that? Amen? Are you with me?
Amen.
So many of us are praying, but we don't believe our prayers. Because when God does it, we say, he didn't do it. Or we are astonished. Why are you shocked when you are all praying? Everybody's in the house praying. Fervently. Praying without ceasing. But they're astonished. Amen. We'll finish this last verse. Our time is up anyway. But he begged me not to them with the hand to hold. But he begged me not to them with the hand to hold their peace. Declaring unto them how? Who brought him out? The Lord had brought him out of prison. But can you imagine the look on their face as he's talking? Because they said they were astonished. You know what? They didn't believe they were looking at Peter. They thought it was his angel. Well, why were you spending all those, these were for days, they were praying for days. Right, because they had to wait for unleavened bread to pass. Then they had to also wait for Passover. You know why they had to wait for after Passover in order for them to kill Peter? Because remember, on Passover, one of the prisoners was released. Right? Remember Jesus? He was with Barabbas and with the thief. He said, well, it is your custom that one of them was released. They said, give us Barabbas. We'd rather have a murderer kill Jesus. So if they had, on the Passover, tried to kill Peter, they couldn't do it because on the Passover, they would have said, we want Peter released. So he said, we got to wait till after. It don't make God say, you can wait. You can wait however long you want to wait. But I'm going to deliver you. You don't have a demon in hell that can hold you. Right? You don't have a demon that can keep you back because God said, I'm going to deliver you. But he begged unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of prison. And he said, go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and he went into another place. And then if you read a little down further, it says that when Herod found out Peter was gone, he was like, wait a minute. I had 16 soldiers watching this one man. And 80 of you all were chained to him at different times of the day. How did he get out? How did Peter get out of your hands? So you know what? Herod was so angry, you know what he did? He had all 16 of them killed. All 16 were killed because he said, I'm mocked. Because this is surely going to be known. That you all let Peter out. He didn't let Peter out. God delivered him.
Amen.
Amen. So that shows when you pray in faith, when you walk in faith, when you believe in faith, what the enemy meant for evil, God will turn it around for good.
Amen.
Amen. Where is your faith? You can't have faith if you're not obedient. Amen. All right, do we have any other comments, any other questions?